Good morning, everyone. I'm Nitin Agarwal from the University of Wisconsin. And today I'll talk about my work on generating realistic impressions for file system benchmarking. This is joint work with my advisors, Andrea Arpachi-Dussault and Ramzi Arpachi-Dussault. So as Dave Patterson once famously said, for better or for worse, benchmarks shape a field. If you believe this to be true, and I will argue throughout the talk that it is, then our responsibility is huge. And I think this community really understands and appreciates the roles of benchmarks in system design and why it is an important problem. So let's quickly refresh our understanding of what is needed when doing benchmarking in the context of file and storage systems. So here is how a typical stack looks like, although a little bit cut. We have an application using a file system through some standard interface, and the file system is in turn running on top of a storage device such as a disk. Obviously, one of the inputs we need in this setup is the benchmark workload. And as a community, we have a whole suite of workloads and workload generators like Postmark, FileBench, FStress, Bonnie, IOZone, and so on and so forth. And while this is not a solved problem, as a community, we have spent a fair amount of time and energy in thinking about it and addressing these issues. We also need to run this benchmark workload in a known memory state. So for example, warming the caches is something that is well understood and as a means to initialize the system under test. The third input for file system benchmarking is the underlying file system image on which the benchmark workload actually runs on. The image comprises of both the logical organization of the file system directory tree, namespace, and files, as well its on-disk representation. While you would imagine this to be given equal attention, surprisingly, in reality, we find that this is an area often overlooked and treated with apathy. For creating file systems images, pretty much anything goes. And we'll see in a few examples later on what people in the past have used as test beds for file system images. So we did a brief informal survey of the kinds of file system images people have been using in previously published papers. And as you can see, it's pretty much all over the place. We find that most of the times, people end up using what is convenient, not surprisingly, and what is easily available, and often their own locally available file systems. I've highlighted the first example here because it is a paper that came out of our own research group where I was a co-author, right? So the idea here is not really to blame and name names because we are all in this together. So clearly, as a community, we can do much better than that. Well, so far, we have talked about the lack of care in creating the right file system images. But the question we might ask is, does it really matter? Should we really bother about that? The answer is, of course it does. And if you're not convinced already, let's look at a very simple example of how file system and disk layout affects application performance. So the graph here shows the relative time taken to run the find find utility in Unix that traverses the file system namespace, searching for a file name. As you can see visually, even for a simple operation like find, the performance can vary quite a bit. The first bar is a file system image that we created using some default settings. And I'll talk later about how we actually do that. The second bar shows the time taken to run the same workload, but when the FS image is now cached, which is not surprisingly much less than the original. In the third bar, we introduce fragmentation in the image and see that the time taken now goes up, right? So far, it's very clear what is going on here. However, something that has been largely ignored and overlooked so far is purely the effect of file system properties, like the distribution of file sizes, the effect of depth, and how content is distributed in the directory tree. So for example, with fewer but larger files, the find runs faster since now it has to deal with lesser metadata, right? If you put more files deeper in the directory tree, the time taken is quite a bit more than for a configuration which has a shallower directory tree. One thing I want to mention is that while doing this experiment, we were careful to vary only the one parameter of interest as we go along and keep everything else, for example, the total bytes in the system consistent. So given that we now understand and agree that the characteristics of file system images can have a strong impact on performance and also on the storage size requirement, as I will show later, the challenge is then to incorporate representative file system images in benchmarking and system design. So the problem that I'm going to address in this work is as follows. The problem is how to create representative file system images for benchmarking. Before proposing a solution, let us now look at what we need in order to achieve our objective, in order to create realistic file system images. First of all, we need information about the properties of metadata and its on-disk layout in order to recreate those properties. Fortunately, we have access to a wealth of information from data from a number of studies which have been conducted on various properties of file system metadata in the past. We also have access to information on disk layout and fragmentation. And I believe this should serve as a good encouragement for more such studies in future to come out with covering various different user scenarios and also to update some of the older data with recent trends. So armed with this data, we now need means to put this information into practice. More specifically, we need a technique to create file system images that is representative. So given a set of input distributions, we would like to create a consistent image that satisfies all the distributions that we want to capture. We also want to be able to control and supply additional constraints because users typically want to tweak the distributions a little bit to cater to their different user scenario or to specify additional constraints on certain attributes like file sizes, for instance. Reproducibility is another important requirement, especially for benchmarking. So we want to be able to control and report all internal parameters used so that someone else can later on create the same exact setup and compare system performance. And finally, ease of use cannot be overlooked. If nothing else, the widespread success of Postmark tells us how important it is to have something that just runs out of the box. Our solution to this problem is to develop Impressions, which is a powerful statistical framework to generate file system images. And so basically, Impressions takes in the properties of various file system attributes as input, works out the underlying statistical details, and then creates the image. And I'll show you later in the talk how it actually performs each of those tasks. Finally, the created image is written out to a disk partition where a real benchmark could then be run on it. We believe Impression satisfies the four design goals that we have previously mentioned, which is being reproducible, representative, controllable, and easy to use. While our goal in this work was to develop a utility that others could then take on and compare and evaluate systems, we ourselves did a little bit of initial in-house testing and looked at how we can apply Impressions to give useful insights. For example, in the case of desktop search, we looked at how different content and metadata properties impact performance and storage requirement. We also looked at other applications of Impressions to identify application bugs and policies. For example, does a desktop search index actually index all the data that it's supposed to do? So now I move on to the part where we explain each of the individual steps that Impressions takes in order to create realistic file system images. So here is how the entire process looks schematically. Very simplistically, Impressions takes in file system distributions as input. So it's getting cut. Okay, but there's nothing of real value on the left side, so pardon the slides. So simplistically, it takes in the file system distributions as input. It also takes in user-specified parameters, such as what is the total file system size on which I want to create a file system image, and then works out the statistical details, and then create accurate representations of the file system state, and eventually its on-disk image. So in order to do that, it first requires information on file system metadata and properties to describe the namespace, et cetera. So some of you might remember the talk at FAST a couple of years back, where we presented our findings from a five-year study of file system metadata performed on desktop file systems at Microsoft. And we use for this talk and for the work that we presented here, we use that study as an exemplar. But Impressions in general is designed to be flexible in supporting whatever parameterized inputs you can supply representing different user scenarios, for example, in server environments and so forth. So basically, from this previous work, we now have a very good understanding of what are the different distributions that characterize file system properties of interest, such as distributions for sizes, depth, content distributions, and so on and so forth. Okay, so let's look at how we can actually use Impressions in creating these images. So we've designed Impressions to work in two modes of operation. In the basic mode, the user can just come up and say, hey, let's just give me an image for a 1 gigabyte file system. And Impressions takes into account all the default settings for whatever input distributions have been previously supplied. And for this work, we'll assume that we have the distributions from the five-year study of metadata. However, an advanced user might want to individually tune several of these parameters and specify additional constraints. For example, file sizes in one environment might be slightly different than in the other. So an advanced user has the flexibility to tune several of these knobs for different parameters of interest. In both these scenarios, impressions implies a number of statistical constructs, such as using parameterized curve fits to generate the sample values, and also enabling arbitrary user constraints. In order to ensure accuracy of the file system images at each step in the generation process, it uses built-in statistical tests to ensure goodness of fit. And it leverages all this machinery to generate a file system image consisting of the namespace, the metadata, the file content within the files, and also the on-disk fragmentation. So let us now move on to the fun part where we actually do something in order to generate valid file system metadata. The first step is to create the file system state, which comprises of the namespace or the empty directory tree and all the files and content within, right? So the first step in this process is to actually create the empty directory tree or the file system namespace. And to do so, we use a generative model that was earlier proposed in the FAST paper. The nice thing about the model is that it explains the process of directory creation very intuitively, and in the next slide, I'll actually give an example of how this is done inside impressions. The model is also accurate to regenerate distributions of directory depth and directory size. So let us look at an example of how impressions actually creates empty directory trees using this model. So very intuitively, the model is as follows. Given a set of directories, the choice of parent directory selection is proportional to the number of existing subdirectories already inside the parent directories. So for example, if you start with an empty tree consisting of just the root node, this is the only directory which can be chosen as a parent. So the next directory is created as a child of this parent node. And now you see that there are two directories, which can be chosen as the parent for a third directory. But the root in this case already has a child, so its probability is in the ratio of 3:2 3:2 for the root and the child node in this directory. So impressions uses the generative model to create the entire directory tree until the entire tree is created, that is shown here. We note that this model not only accounts for the distributions of directories by subdirectory count, as shown here, but also the distributions of directories by depth. So I'm going to explain the graphs that I'm going to show here. There are actually two lines on this graph. The first one is kind of superimposed on the other. The first, the black line, is the line which represents the values in our snapshot data set for the 5-year metadata study. And the red line represents the distribution as generated by impressions. So the point to note here is that the generated line includes the accuracy of both creating the model and also its implementation inside impressions. So we see again that the distribution as generated by impressions is accurate for directories by subdirectory count and also for directories by the namespace depth. So once the directory tree or the namespace is created, the next step is then to populate it with files. And this is a stepwise process and one where impression spends the bulk of its time and statistical machinery. And in this phase, it ensures that all different parameters such as file size, file extension, file depth, and parent directory selection are accurately synthesized. And as I mentioned before, in doing so, it uses a number of statistical models and analytical approximations. So just to give you an example of one such parameter, let us look at how impressions creates files with valid sizes. So this graph here shows the distribution of bytes by the containing file size. And what that means is if we have 1,000 1-megabyte files, the y-axis contribution for a 1-megabyte file for the 1-megabyte container would be 1,000 MB. And traditionally, file sizes were considered to follow a log normal distribution. However, in our 5-year study of metadata, we found that this trend is increasingly shifting to a bimodal distribution where there is a pronounced dual mode at the 1 gigabyte size range. Hence, a pure log normal distribution is no longer a good fit, but a hybrid model instead, which combines the log normal body with a Pareto tail, takes into account this heavy tail with very few, very large files, and is more accurate in capturing the heavy tail nature of file sizes. The distinction in models is important because they would lead to very different file sizes and its on-disk layout, and for example, change the C characteristics of any workload. So in impressions, we use this hybrid model to generate file sizes. And I should mention that there's a lot of work that other people have done, also in the statistics community, at doing similar modeling. And in particular, Dosor and Bolaski proposed statistical models for a number of file system parameters, which we found very useful to work with while looking at the newer file system data set. The process for parameters like depth and others were similarly done. Okay, so the first step in creating files is now to assign file sizes using the hybrid model we just discussed. So we begin with an empty set of files, and that are then annotated with the sizes using sample using the model. And the graph here shows the accuracy with which impressions does so, and we find that it captures the essence of the distributions fairly well. Once we have the file sizes, we next annotate in a series of steps other parameters such as file extensions, which in this case are captured by the percentile values of the top 20 extensions. And we find that, again, impressions is able to capture the distribution of extension popularity with good accuracy. As one more example property, the files are then annotated with their depth in the tree, given their sizes. File depths are modeled by a Poisson distribution for byte, which impressions is able to capture very accurately. However, in this case, we also want to ensure that this distribution for files by depth also takes into account the distributions of bytes by depth. So instead, we use a multiplicative model, which combines the Poisson essence of the distribution with biases for bytes by depth. And we see that impressions using this multiplicative model ensures that both of these parameters are satisfied at the same time. Finally, once all the parameters have been selected, the files are then attached to the directory tree, satisfying the requirement for distributions of directory sizes with file count. And this is modeled inside impressions using an inverse polynomial distribution. And once this is done, we're done with the part of creating the logical namespace, and the files are then actually written out to disk. Okay, so we have seen a kind of a default setting example where impressions just creates a basic image using all these distributions as input. Now imagine that the user has additional constraints on the selection of some parameters. One of the primary benefits we believe of impressions is to allow flexibility in specifying parameters without compromising accuracy. So for example, the graph here shows distribution of file sizes. One might specify a constraint such that given a count of files and the distribution, we want to ensure that the sum of all file sizes matches our desired total file system size. A contrived way to kind of achieve this objective would be to have a bogus distribution which just adds up to the sum but loses the essence of the distribution. However, in impressions, we take care in ensuring that our constraint distributions, while satisfying the sum, also preserves the original distribution as possible. And let us look at how we do this inside impressions. So it turns out this problem is a variant of an NP-complete subset sum problem, and we have an approximation algorithm-based solution, more details of which are in the paper. But just to give you an idea, what we basically do is we employ oversampling to get additional sample values for the parameter under consideration. And then at every point in the oversampling phase, we use a process called local improvement to iteratively converge to the desired sum by identifying the best fit within the current sample. And since our objective is not just to reach the sum, but also to ensure that the distributions retain their characteristics at each point, we use a built-in statistical test for goodness of test to ensure that the convergence process actually keeps both the characteristics in mind. So just briefly go through some other examples of what features are inside impressions. It's also its ability to create file systems with distributions that are not described by any available data set. So for example, we can interpolate and extrapolate different parameters beyond just the data set. One great thing about that is that in this case, we are no longer limited to empirical data that is available in the data set. However, it also allows what-if style of analysis beyond what is available. And just for an implementation perspective, it is often more efficient to maintain compact curve fits and then employ some interpolation technique rather than having all the data lying around. So in impressions, we use a technique called piecewise interpolation to achieve this. So let us look at how it is actually done. So the graph here shows the distribution of file sizes that I've shown before, but instead of showing the aggregate distribution this time, it's broken down by the file systems of certain sizes for which we have individual distributions. So we have distributions for file systems of 10, 50, and 100 gigabyte. Now if one wants to, for example, experiment with distributions for another set of file systems, say 75 gigabyte and 125 gigabyte, we break down the collective segment, we break down these distributions into individual segments, and then apply some known interpolation technique like spline or polynomial interpolation to all the data points within that segment. And finally, we combine the individually interpolated segments to obtain a new curve. So let us see how impressions actually does a good job of coming up with distributions that are beyond the data set. And in this case, we see that the interpolated and extrapolated distributions for the 75 and 125 gigabyte file systems are fairly accurate to the point of being useful. So this was the work that we did for kind of constructing the metadata tree, but we also pay attention to the content and have some initial support for doing that, such as using more reasonable word length, popularity, and frequency models from the NLP community. I think one of the things that we want to really think about doing that is that if you consider applications like desktop search or content addressable storage systems, we want to ensure that the performance measurements is not misleading because of, you know, garbage or randomly generated data. And I believe there is more scope for including better content models for generating files of other types, such as media and time type files. So let us move on to the final step, where we create the on-disk representation of the namespace and the directory tree that we have just created. So impressions provides control over the layout of files on disk, and in doing so, we use a terminology called layout score, which measures the degree of fragmentation on disk. So the example here shows two files. The file one actually has one non-contiguously laid out block out of a total of 8 blocks, and layout score is defined as the number of non-contiguous blocks upon the total block. So here we see that file one has a layout score of 7x8, and file two has a layout score of 1. So in impressions, we issue pairs of temporary file create and delete operations till the desired layout score is achieved to ensure that the disk fragmentation is representative of what the user wants. And this is a simple step, and we believe in future, more nuanced ways to create fragmentation are possible, such as by using out-of-order file writes and by inducing longer delays in between writing two blocks. So we now just kind of, our goal was here to kind of come up with a framework and build a framework that others can then use and leverage in doing their own evaluation and benchmarking and kind of as a developer aid. But if we look at some applications of how we have used impressions with desktop search as a case study. So in these next set of experiments, we use impressions to quantify and compare desktop search index size and performance. Another use of impressions that we're not going to talk about much today is how we can use it to identify application behavior on real file system images. For example, in our evaluation of a Google desktop search for Linux, we found that it does not index any content which is beyond directory depth of 10. Impressions can also be used to compute more realistic rules of thumb, which we all kind of want to use in day-to-day system design, such as what is the overhead of replicating metadata, or what would be the cost of employing some protection strategy on metadata and content. So the graph here quickly just shows the impact of file content on the size of index for both Beagle and Google desktop search applications. The red bar is a file system having text files with a single word repeated all over, while the green bar shows for the text files using the more sophisticated word popularity model. And the blue bar shows the same for the binary files. We see that, just by looking at the graph visually, we see that content has a significant effect, around 3% in this case, in the index size for both Beagle and Google. But the point we're trying to really make is forget the actual numbers, is the contribution of impressions is role is serving as a design aid. And for example, in this case, while Google indexes are typically tend to be smaller than Beagle for textiles, they're larger for binary files. So something that an application developer might find useful to understand and debug. The graph here shows the relative index size for file systems created using the default distribution and ones that were biased towards text, image, and binary files. And this is then repeated for various indexing schemes available inside Beagle. So without, again, going into the specific details of the quantification of the index size, we believe such a demonstration is a typical usage scenario for impressions, where we can use it to understand the impact of different file system content and indexing schemes. And finally, just as something that we have imagined impressions to be useful in future, is a property of being very reproducible. So a future search application can accurately compare its performance with its own set of indexing schemes with that of a previously published performance result. So to conclude, we have built a framework called Impressions that allows us to generate realistic file system images, and we believe Impressions satisfies four high design goals in being representative of input distributions, being controllable to specify a number of additional parameters, and in being reproducible for thorough and accurate benchmarking, and finally being easy to use. Impression supports an extensible architecture where we can plug in new statistical constructs and newer models for both metadata and content generation. And we believe it is a powerful utility for file system benchmarking, which would be a good aid for any application developer or evaluator. And we intend to make it publicly available very soon now. So thank you, and with that, I'll take your questions.
Ajay Gulati, VMware. Very interesting work. I just have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
I think you may want to augment the tool with a reverse thing as well, where I run that on my file system and I get all the information about distributions and everything about my file system, and then I further use the tool to say how would it extrapolate
exactly
5 years down the line.
So that's a great point, and that is something which I already have in-house kind of to test out things. But that is something which can definitely be useful in making sure that it's easy to incorporate newer data sets. For example, if you have a distribution that represents reality in your scenario, you can just run that fingerprinting tool to collect the statistics and then plug that inside impressions to create images which are more accurate for you. Right.
True, definitely. And we can create a library of these fingerprints mm-hmm. that people can then...
That is something that can be viewed more as a community step where people can put... For example, the five-year study kind of gives us a good insight into how properties are for desktop file systems. But someone else can go ahead and do a similar study for server environments or mail server workloads, and that can definitely be contributed publicly for everyone else to use.
Sure. Thanks.
Thanks.
Hello, Drew Wilson from Sun Microsystems. Also a good paper and some good contributions in there. We at Sun definitely believe that you should use a representative hierarchical directory for your files and not a flat one, as many benchmarks do. We also believe that it should be generated by a reproducible statistical method, fractal-based, and with varying file sizes, et cetera, directory depths, which is why we've had that in FileBench for over 5 years. Are you familiar with how
right.
we do that?
So FileBench and FStress are definitely great tools that have come out previously and have kind of solved individual pieces of this problem. The real contribution that we're trying to make in impressions is both to incorporate newer data sets. For example, mm-hmm. if you have, say, a different scenario, we have made it such that it's very easy to incorporate newer designs and newer a better understanding of what different scenarios are, and then make it very easy to plug in those distributions as input. The other things which we think are different from kind of build up on the work that FStress and FileBench have done is to make it so that it's very easy to view this as a kind of full benchmarking setup where you also have control over the disk layout, you also can specify additional parameters. So I think we're viewing this more as something which can be taken further to kind of mimic a whole benchmarking suite.
Yes, I think you've got a lot of extra good features in there, but thank you.
All right.
Hello, I'm Michael McSorrow, a student from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. And I had a question about impressions.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe this is great research, and I believe that this is a big improvement over using traces, and for using your own personal file system for gathering the activities of
mm-hmm.
file systems. I think it would be great, especially for file system searching. But I have a concern. And my concern is, say you have one researcher who runs impressions and got this with this criteria, and then you have another researcher who uses the same criteria and runs impressions and to get another disk image. Are disk images in impressions created randomly, or is the statistical model being used run such a way where the disk images are the same? Because the problem is, say, even though you feed it the same input, let's say you get two different disk images.
Right. So, so everything in impressions is actually, so we actually control all the random seeds and everything. So, any randomness that is introduced in impressions in generating, for example, different samples is very precisely controlled. So, even if we want to create a different disk image, we can always plug in the same random seeds so that all of the underlying distributions actually start with the same values, and we can very accurately reproduce the same setup.
So you're saying that the distributions are the same, so the two images, even the two images are different. Because the distributions are the same, the performance and everything will be the same in the two images.
So let me rephrase the question and answer. I don't know if it's the same question, but if you want to, if your goal is reproducibility, it has all the means to ensure that. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make sure that, that a disk image 2, and you want it to be same as a disk image 1 for another benchmarking, you have full control to do that by taking control of all the parameters and all the random seeds inside impressions.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Jeff Canning, Harvey Mudd College. So something you didn't address in your talk is how long it takes to build a big disk image for testing purposes.
Right. So the paper has some numbers on performance. So as far as I remember, for creating a... So let me first mention that while writing this software, our first objective for this work was to make sure that it is statistically accurate. And also so that it is not prohibitively expensive. So the current performance, as far as I remember, for creating a five, we tested with a smaller test image. For 5 gigabytes, it took about 500 seconds. So that's roughly 10 megabytes per second. And for a 12 gigabyte image, it roughly scaled in the same fashion. So that's the performance right now. But obviously, you can now fine tune the code and make sure the data structures are more scalable and, you know, and kind of try to squeeze out more performance for doing large scale benchmarking.
Hello, Ellard Rouse on Microsystems, and I saw it was good to be able to characterize the data much better, but one thing I thought was actually maybe a little bit different is that the last parameter about fragmentation, I believe, is heavily affected by the nature of the file system, whether it's copy on write, log journaling,
right,
and the like.
Right,
and so I'm wondering whether that one might belong more in the category of comparison within a class of file system and not a cross, because if you created the same fragmentation for copy on write vis-a-vis a block-oriented one,
Definitely. So that is definitely the next thing to look at when you kind of make it more realistic. Because as you said, fragmentation can have very strong impact on performance, and classes of file systems can have very different behavior, right? So for example, you can start thinking about how would you introduce delays in the write layout such that any policy that the file system employs to lay out on blocks on disk is then actually accurately captured as a class of file systems like EXC3 versus RiseFS, for instance. So I believe in future it makes more sense to also think about looking at file system interfaces to kind of do that more accurately. Yeah, thank you. Okay, just have time for one more question.
Okay, Dominic Giampello, Apple. I noticed in the paper that you said the file names were just generated by a simple counter, increasing counter. You definitely would want to look at looking at the distribution of file size names, or file name size.
Right. The problem with that is, sorry to interrupt, the problem with that is due to anonymity reasons, the data set that we actually got had a cryptographic hash on the file names. So we lost out the information which we previously had on file names. But that is something that can be worked, if that can be worked around.
The
it is possible to capture at least the length of the file name,
right,
if not the actual name itself.
Right. If you look at the distribution, because I've done that a number of times
over the years,
it can vary widely, and it can also influence the performance.
Right. In our data set, we had lost that information because of anonymity reasons, but in future, we can definitely incorporate that.
In the fingerprinting tool. And for the fragmentation, just a quick comment.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to ensure that, don't do things like delaying writes a long time. Simply do an F-sync to force the file system to flush the data to disk.
It also depends on what file system you're trying to and what are the file system policies. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of believe that as an extension. And I mean, there's a lot of scope for improvement on the fragmentation side of things, mm-hmm. where you can kind of incorporate more file system-specific policies. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.